Our scripture this morning is John 15, verses 1 through 17. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 1068. 1068. These are the words of Jesus, starting in the first verse. The title of the message is Fruit of Faith, and you will see why. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, just a note here that in our NIV translation, this word remain and many other English translations is abide. Abide in me, remain in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other, love each other. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious, all-knowing, all-powerful God, we thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired word, inerrant, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes with which you send it out and never returning void. Lord, we pray God, the Holy Spirit upon us this time to give us eyes and ears to hear, to see, to feel what you desire to show us. Let us be submissive, Lord, and transformed by the power of your word. Do not let this preacher get in your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Fruit of faith. Well, I was surprised that Dr. Mark Parton used the scripture in his book, Praying with Fire, his presence, seeking his presence through the revival passages of scripture. Previously, I would not have seen how Jesus' call to abide in him connected directly to revival. Now, I've never preached this scripture to you, but I've mentioned it several times and read it numerous times and never connected it to revival. But Parton asks us in his book, how will spiritual pruning work with us? Here are the general steps. God gets our attention, forcing a choice. God allows us to try to handle the situation on our own strength. God allows us to fail, so we understand deliverance comes from God, not humans. God separates us from everything we once thought was important and everything that can distract us from him and his divine purposes. God teaches us lessons we will need to become more useful to him. God wants us to depend completely on him and to bear fruit for his glory. Some lessons we learn quickly, while others may take a lifetime. Time means nothing in God's economy. God just desires that we bear fruit, much fruit, more fruit, and eternal fruit. So he prunes us. In times of revival, pruning becomes evident. He says that in the revivals that he was part of, television sat silent, chores went undone, vacations were canceled. Why? People were hungry to commune with God, to read the word of God, to pray, to unite with others, and to worship. There was a willingness to be still and silent before the Lord and to wait. How could you leave the manifest presence of God? Why would you leave? Time stood still, and all that is important is Christ. All that is important is Christ. Now, after reading a sermon by Alexander McLaren, a connection to revival was much clearer to me. He said, fruitless branches mean all those who have a mere superficial adherence to the true vine. If there be any real union, there will be some life, and therefore some fruit. And so the application is to those nominal adherents to Christianity who, if you ask them to put down on the census paper what they are, will say that they are Christians, but who have no real hold upon Jesus Christ and no real reception of anything from him. And the taking away is simply that God makes visible what is a fact, that they do not belong to him with whom they have this nominal connection. The longer Christianity continues in any country, the more does the church get weighted and lowered in its temperatures by the aggregation round about it, the people of that sort. And one sometimes longs and prays for a storm to come of some sort or another to blow the dead wood out of the tree and to get rid of all this oppressive and stifling weight of sham Christians that has come around every one of our churches. Now, that was written in the 1800s, the late 1800s. Does it apply today? Yes, we need the great wind of God, the Holy Spirit, to blow across the dead plains of our nation. Come, Holy Spirit, cleanse, convict, convert. In our responsive reading today, we use Psalm 80. Israel was God's chosen people. The promised land was prepared for them. The nation of Israel was the vine rescued from Egypt and transplanted in the place that God had prepared for them. They were blessed and prospered. Because of their waywardness, a rod of correction was brought against them. And they cried out, "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine on us that we may be saved." This 15th chapter of John started with Jesus proclaiming, "I am the true vine." In every aspect that Israel was untrue, Jesus was true. Regarding sin, Israel required a continuous sacrifice, morning and evening, to cover them. Jesus was not only sinless, he was the perfect lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Regarding relationship, Israel was the adulterous wife and the prodigal son. Jesus did the work of the Father and communed in continual prayer with his Father, the gardener. There are four conditions of bearing fruit addressed here. Now, Dr. Parton might argue that eternal fruit, fruit that lasts, is a fifth category, but I think that much fruit is the same thing. So it's just splitting hairs. What happens to the branch that bears no fruit? It is broken off. It's thrown away. Then it is gathered up and it's thrown in the fire to be burned. The other three conditions all bear fruit. It is not hard to see that if you do not abide or remain in the vine, you end up in the burning fire. These are Jesus' words. The other three connections to Christ are bearing fruit, being even more fruitful, and bearing much fruit. How do we progress through the stages? Primarily by staying connected to Jesus, the true vine. While we abide in him, the Father, who is the gardener, will prune us. Interestingly, immediately after that, Jesus says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." The Greek word for prune and the Greek word for clean is the same word. Jesus intertwines abiding with him, abiding in his words, and abiding in his love. Each one enhances the others. Jesus also connects cleaning, obedience, and love. Surely you can see how abiding in Christ leads to righteousness. We know that pruning is highly beneficial in orchards and other agricultural applications. Now, if you are like me, you might be reluctant to sign up for pruning. Yep. Yeah, Lord, come and prune me. No, we usually would not sign up for that. But at the same time, I know that there are things that need to be cut out and cut away to make room for healthy, godly growth. Now, yesterday, I want to thank those that came and helped clean up the grounds. We did a lot of pruning, cutting back the overgrown bushes, plants. And unlike me, God is the perfect gardener. One of the shrubs up there was so overgrown that when I was trimming it with the hedge clipper, I cut off like half of a mum plant, right? That's because I'm not like God. God's vision is perfect. He sees all things. And when his pruning is done, it is just the right pruning that we need. Now, delayed pruning is not a blessing. It actually makes the necessary pruning more harsh, seem more harsh or severe. And if you look at some of the bushes out there, a lot of the branches are showing the leaves are gone because they were allowed to overgrow for so many months. Another thing we need to see in this is that pruning is continuous. Now, in December, I've been here 7 years. And those bushes have never stopped growing. They've always needed pruning. And that should be the same for us. It is the same for us. We always need pruning. But sometimes we're like, oh, no, Lord. Let me wait on that. I'll deal with that later, right? Pruning is instrumental for our faith journey. Now let's examine the fruit we are to produce. Jesus talks about fruit also in Matthew 7. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears what kind of fruit? Bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Right. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. By their fruit, you will recognize them. How recognizable are you? Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. This speaks of witnessing that when we live a righteous life, it makes those around us more open to hear the good news of Jesus. Right? One of the barriers for people coming to faith is they see Christians that look like the world. And they're like, what does it matter then? Philippians 1, verse 9 through 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. When we stay connected to the true vine, the Lord Jesus, then we will bear the fruit of righteousness. If you are always conscious that Jesus was standing right beside you, hearing everything you said, seeing everything that you did, and knowing the motivations of your heart, might you behave differently? I think sometimes that I would. Right? And Jesus is, in fact, always connected to you. Then we have the fruit of the Spirit, which you all are very familiar with, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as I've said to you before, this is my favorite part. Against these, there is no law. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And this should be familiar to you. We just heard it recently in a sermon. Matthew 3, verses 8 through 11. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come the one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John the Baptist speaking of Jesus. Proverbs 12, verse 14. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. You will reap as you sow the harvest of your speech. We know that James has a lot to say about the power of the tongue. Our words are very important. Right? We can speak words of life or we can speak words of death. Yesterday afternoon, I happened to still be around. I had come back from my grandson's soccer game, and we had not planned to do parking, but I figured I'm here. There's cars here. I have signs. So I put them out there. And it wasn't really busy, so I was able to manage the traffic flow. But it gave me an opportunity to bless each car that came through, to bless the people in the car, right? To engage them and to bless them. And had a few interesting exchanges. People like to joke around and have some fun. And one car pulls up and the guy says, the guy's in the passenger seat, the woman's driving. He says, would you take $3? It's $5 on the side. Would you take $3? She's like, would you stop that? I said, I'll take $3 at a time, which he thought was funny. He gave me the $5. Another woman comes in and she says, is it free? And I'm like, well, getting into heaven is free, but parking is $5. Another woman asked, is it free? And I said, well, tomorrow morning it'll be free. And she's like, it takes her a second for that to click, that Sunday morning, right? And she said, oh, if I came into the church, it would burn down. I says, no, that's been said before, and the church is still standing. So it gave me a chance to speak God's love and blessing over these people. And I pray that the Lord uses that for his glory. So we have good fruit. We have the fruit of righteousness. We have the fruit of repentance. We have the fruit of our lips. And according to Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. The fruit of lips that confess his name. Worship is fruit, right? That's why it's important that we worship in spirit and truth, that we truly worship, that we're not just checking a box, that we're not just going through the motions, right? That our heart is engaged, right? That we are giving glory to God. That's what we were created for, right? To bring glory to God and to enjoy him forever. Are we really enjoying God? Maybe the reason that some children don't know how to worship God is that because the parents don't know how to worship God, they were not trained. It was just assumed that, oh, everybody knows how to do that. No, it is something that we learn to do. We learn to do. Ellen White served in ministry for 70 years, and she delivered at least 10,000 sermons or public addresses on 3 different continents. In her sermon, I Am the True Vine, obviously preached with the scripture, she preached, what is the much fruit that we must bear? It is fruit of a heavenly nature, the result of lives sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. When we abide in Christ and Christ abides in us, we shall be men and women of prayer, of truth, men and women who carry themselves circumspectly before God and before the world. Daily, we shall draw from Christ the strength we need to work the works of God. This is what the world needs, a manifestation of the power of truth and Christian characters. What we need is faith in the word of God. And with true faith, we shall have the living witness that our ways please God. Of what worth is religion to us if when we approach God, we cannot have the evidence in ourselves that he hears and answers our prayers? We should be true branches, right? Connecting to the true vine. How do we remain true? By abiding in the true vine. The sap feeds, it nourishes, it strengthens. This sap is the love of God the Father and God the Son. If this is the source of your sustenance, you will produce fruit pleasing to the Lord. You will bear much fruit and thereby bring glory to your God and witness to Jesus. If you are connected to the love of God, it is not hard to see the joy that should come forth. Jesus says that his joy will complete our joy. Often the joys of this world are transitory. We get jostled a little bit and they seem to slip through our fingers. That does not happen with the joy of Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Jesus tells us, when we bear fruit that will last, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Preacher Jabez Burns proclaimed, from this vineyard, Jehovah expects an adequate return of fruit. The purpose of planting a vineyard is to obtain fruit. The gardener expects this, reasonably looks for it, and looks for it in the proportion to the means expended and the favorable situation the vineyard occupies. Thus, God expects a return of fruit from his church. He blesses them that they may manifest blessings. He enlightens that they may shine. He expects from them a return of heart fruit, which is holy actions, desires, tempers, thoughts. Life fruit, a constant regard to himself by reverence, fear, grateful acknowledgments, and supreme love. And toward men, equity, truth, benevolence, and mercy. Over ourselves, vigilance, self-government, self-denial. But from all in proportion to their privileges and blessings, this fruit honors and pleases God and is the best evidence that we can have of our regeneration and acceptance with God. I'll bring your attention to the reflection questions on page 7 of the bulletin, which again, I encourage you to bring home and work through. In what way is your life becoming more narrowed to God's ways? In what ways are you still trying to find fulfillment in the world? Excitement and results can be addictive. How can you guard your life in those areas? What do you need to leave behind so you can move forward with God? What time robbers, things that distract you from God and his will, are present in your life? What will you do about them? Explain why a good idea may not necessarily be God's will. Explain why an idea that makes no sense may be God's will. What times of pruning, if any, have you experienced? In what ways did those times follow the general steps listed in this chapter, which I gave you in the introduction, and will be on the website probably tomorrow, because I post in the whole sermon that I preach is printed and on the website each week. Shirley does all that work for us. So thank you, Shirley, for that. So if you need to be reminded of what was said in the introduction about how God prunes us, those steps, I would encourage you to look at the church website. My friends, Jesus said, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." What's the alternative? You're not his disciples. Much fruit. Much fruit glorifies our Heavenly Father. Will you honor him? Remain in the true vine. Abide in Christ. Remain in his word. Abide in the way and the truth and the life. Remain in the love of the Father and the Son. Abide in that love and love one another. Love one another. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Persistent Father, remind me that while your prophets and apostles were doing your will, you pruned them. Let me understand pruning comes even as I am being obedient to your will and calling. I praise you for your mighty works and for reaching out to the ignored and downtrodden. I pray that you will burden me to be an intentional witness to all people. Father, give me the words to say that will capture the attention of lost people. Move even with miracles, if you so choose. I pray you will give me the unction of your spirit to witness, to face those who are helpless and hopeless by the world standards, even those who are possessed by this world and evil spirits. Let physical and spiritual healing and deliverance take place for your glory. As I share with others, let my life show your glory and joy. Show me how to build relationships so I can share. Keep me sensitive to sin and aware and discerning of false teaching and teachers. By your Holy Spirit, allow me the boldness to challenge them in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let counterfeit conversions be exposed for what they are. Move with strong conviction upon individuals who profess to know you, but who live according to the flesh and the desires of this world. Pour out your spirit and move mightily, bringing forth repentance. Father, teach me to understand your pruning, how you even prune even good fruit so that eternal fruit may come forth. Enable me to be sensitive to your leading, even when you lead me away from the great outpourings to go to desert places. Enable me to understand the value of one. Through one, entire families may become open to the gospel, and cities and countries may be open to the gospel. Prune my life until I bear fruit only for you. Thank you, Father. You are the one who cuts me back. Thank you that Jesus chose me. Thank you that Jesus calls me friend and laid down his life for me. Thank you for Jesus' love and your love. Empower me to love as Jesus has loved. Oh, Father, send revival to me and to your people. Be exalted in us and among us. I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. And now, let us come to the one who answers all prayers. The altar is now open.